I mean, that far south. Like, we, you know, in the United States, we can go down to Florida, which is pretty close to the equator. They can't get that far. So they're pretty much restricted to around 50, 51 degrees, which happens to be the best they could do for their launches, for manned launches. So when they launch to the space station, you know, that's the inclination that they use, because they can't get any further south. That's the way that works. And when you go down to French Guiana, Kourou, French Guiana is where European Space Agency launches their rockets. They have the luxury of being able to either go geosynchronous, you know, right on the equator if they want a 0-degree inclination, or they go south and they can put their satellites into a polar orbit as well. So, you know, so they can do both. By the way, they launch three types of rockets: light, medium, and heavy duty. From French Guiana, they have their Vega, that's their lightweight rocket. And medium is the Soyuz. They actually buy Soyuz rockets from Russia. Russia has nothing to do with the European Space Agency when they launch from French Guiana. They buy their rockets and they do launch from there. And then there's another launch complex that they launch the Ariane 5 from. That's their big heavy lift rocket. So they can do anything to go equator wise or polar. Let me drop it. That's pretty much it, George. We'll turn it back to you. By the way, George does the talking about nuts. He does the swap and shop, and also on tomorrow night. After that follows the InfoNet. George, back to you.
Paul, that was a very good explanation to what I was asking. So, you know, I was looking at what you were saying as you were bringing this up, talking about Russian explorations. And what I'm not sure as to whether the countries are benefiting from equatorial plus or minus launches, or Arctic Circle plus launches. Well, we don't have too many countries that can do lower than Arctic Circle launches, but you gave a good explanation, and you got me there with what's a benefit to those doing above Arctic Circle launches. But it seems that most countries will prefer equatorial circle launches.
Yeah, if they're doing, depends on what they're doing. If they would like to, let's say, put up their own space station, you know, we do, like, 50 degrees is good, 51 degrees, that's where the space station is now. The Mir space station the Russians had was also at the same inclination. China does around 42 degrees, but, you know, If you want to do spy satellites, or you want to do satellites that are going to look at the plant growth around the world, or the water level around the world, then you want a polar launch. You know, you want a sun synchronous launch where you come out, where you time it, where you know you're going to come over the same spot, you know, every day on a routine. The sun is going to be in the same location. You know, it gives you, perfect pictures to compare from day to day. But, you know, with that, you want to go on a polar launch. Geosynchronous orbit, that's, of course, you know, you're going to be at 23,000 miles above the surface of the Earth. And then you want to be on the equator. Let's say, you know, for the United States, that satellite is looking down at the same place, you know, day in, day out. And, or, you know, you have hundreds of these geosynchronous satellites that are up there for different countries. And then you have your GPS satellites, roughly half that distance, roughly around 11,000 miles above the surface, not 23. And, you know, you have a constellation of them, maybe 23, 24 satellites transmitting signals, you know, so that people could throw their compasses away, I guess. Back to you, Georgia, unless you, if you have any other questions. If not, we'll...
Paul, great explanation. I see the differences very clearly. And, I mean, you know, it has to do with communications. It has to do with orbiting experiments. It has to do with how you want to put your vehicle or your communications object into orbit. And obviously some countries have an advantage and some don't. So, great explanation, man. KD2FIU. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. There was one group in the 90s. It was called Sea Launch. And that was a consortium of Boeing. And we were involved with the Russians and the Ukraine on that one. And they built this floating platform. And it used to leave California with a rocket on it, you know. And they used to float it out to the equator, you know, and then launch from the Pacific Ocean around the equator. They called it the Sea Launch. But, you know, that went belly up. Now, China has come up with the same thing. They've invented their own. So, yeah, you know, you get that extra push on the equator, you know, almost 1,000 miles an hour. So, you know, if you were to try to do that from, north or south of the equator, you know, you're going to go, well, you're going to launch slower, but then also to get that to that inclination of 0 degrees, it takes a lot of fuel to change your inclination in space. Let's say if you launch even from Florida at 23 degrees, which we do, I think 28 degrees, they have to use a lot of fuel to eventually get to change the plane, you know, of your flight to geosynchronous. They do it all the time, but if you're on the equator, it's going to take you a lot less fuel to accomplish the same thing. Okay, over to Roy. This has been WS2N for the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. AC2GS, WS2N.
Thank you very much, Paul, for the SpaceNet report, for your participation, for everything you do here. And thanks to everyone who participated tonight. As I often say, it's you guys that make or break this technical net. I'm just here kind of running it for you, and I've enjoyed myself, and I hope most of you have enjoyed yourselves tonight. And I hope that you'll tune in next Sunday night and even participate, maybe, if the spirit grabs you. I want to remind everyone that if you want to contact us, either me or Paul, or give us a topic or a question, for a puzzle, you could reach us at mailbag@ac2gs.com. Links are available for subjects mentioned at every TechNet. You can get to it by typing in roy.ac2gs.com. And Mike, AC2NJI, has a wonderful archive site where he has archived audio files of the technical net that go as far back as September 2006. And I always like to close each of our technical nets by quoting a bit of wisdom by a very wise man, Dick K2RIW. He would very often end the technical net with the admonition, be kind to each other. And as I've often said, it's always good advice, but in these times, it's especially good advice. These are still dangerous times. Vaccines are coming. They'll be here soon. And this will be over one of these days. But it's not over quite yet. A lot of people getting sick. A lot of people dying. So please, be smart about things. Socially distance yourself. Don't take unnecessary risks. Be well. Have a safe and happy Christmas this week, and I hope you'll all be back here to talk and chat and explain and listen next Sunday night when we'll do it all again. This is AC2GS, and I'll be clear.
W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. That tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30, this is the